to the book of Romans. I think this is a fitting scripture for tonight. Romans chapter 13. And let's look at verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Notice here that Paul writing, he says, and knowing the time. Listen, church, it's important for us to know the time. You need to look around you and understand the times that we're living in. He says here, and knowing the time. It's time for us to wake up, to come up out of our slumber, to come out of our place of being complacent and just being satisfied with status quo and being satisfied with just coming to church, having a fire service, and going back home. Come on. Knowing the time, it's time for us to wake up. And then notice what he says. Put on the armor of light. Well, what is the armor of light? That's the anointing of God that you have on your life. When we come in, that anointing ought to be shining in this place. We ought to be coming in expecting God to do some great things. But instead, we get more excited about whether or not somebody got to go to the NBA. Come on now. We get more excited about whether we got a president that can finish two sentences or not. Come on now. You see, we get excited about those things, or we talk about those things. But how about us getting excited about the Spirit of God? How about us stirring ourselves up so that when we come in the house, we're expecting God to do signs, wonders, and miracles. We're expecting God to do something through us. Come on. What if I just decided to I'm going to just by the Spirit of God start calling on some people and let you get up and just testify how good God's been? Would you be ready to get up and give God some glory? Or would you want to just have to talk about how bad a day you've had today and how, you know, this is going on, that's going on? No, see, we ought to be excited the fact that God is God in our life. And at all times, we ought to be ready to give Him a praise. Come on, somebody. We ought to know the time we're living in and understand some of the things that's going on. He says it's time for us to put off darkness, put on the armor of light, because we know what time it is. It's time to put away other things and the things that we focus on and begin to focus on Christ. That's what He said for us to do. Listen, it's time for some things to go on. Now realize this, everything is done on God's timetable. Come on, everything is done on His timetable. But let me tell you something, if you don't already know this, the winds of change have begun. God is beginning to blow on this country again. God is beginning to blow on His church again. And it's time that we get ready for that and know that it's happening. And knowing the time, it's high time to wake up. Time for us to come out of our slumber. Time for us to say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Time for us to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me. Here I am, God. I'm one of Your chosen vessels, one of Your anointed vessels, one of those that You have called out of darkness and over into Your kingdom. I'm here, God, because I said I love You, and You said You love me, and I made You my Lord. And now I'm in covenant with You to do whatever You tell me to do. You see, it's time for the church to rise up. We've been sitting back too long. We've allowed things to happen for too long. But I'm telling you something. As we sit back, the enemy has moved in and done some things. But I'm telling you once again that God is blowing on situations now. And the winds of change are starting to move. And God is getting ready to rise up in a mighty way in His church, in this country. And you're going to see God do some things. And you're going to say, whoa! Look what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I'm part of that. I said, I'm part of that. Are you part of that? You see, if we're asleep, we'll miss it. Come on, anybody ever go on a trip and you fall asleep on the trip? Well, you know, if I'm driving, I sometimes fall asleep while I'm driving, but I try not to, but just for short periods of time. But I've been, well, I have. I'm just telling you the truth. Scotty and them keeps a close eye on me. You all right, Pastor? You know, that's sometimes when the road goes along the side of the road. You okay, Pastor? You know, you want me to drive, Pastor? Yeah, you know, you go. But here's the thing. Sometimes Pastor and I'll go somewhere and I'll say, won't you drive? And so she'll say, I don't want to drive. And I'll say, well, please, you just drive. Let me rest. And so she'll switch. She'll drive. Now, what happens is I'm kind of like that baby that you get in the car and drive around. You know, as soon as the car starts moving, I'm... Just ask anybody that's ever traveled with me. When you're hauling me, I'm sleeping. Most of the time. Unless I'm excited about something, going fishing or something like that. But on the way back, definitely I'm sleeping, okay, if you're driving. But what I want to say about that is, if you're asleep, he said it's high time to wake out of sleep. If you're asleep, a 3-hour drive is just like that. But you missed the whole trip. Did you hear me? All the exciting things. We were coming back one time from Tennessee, and I said, Chuck, you drive. We'd gotten up early that morning, fished hard all day, and I knew I was sleepy. Chuck pretty good about staying awake, so is Scotty. And so I said, Chuck, you drive. So Chuck and Scotty's in the front of the truck. I'm in the back seat of the truck. We look at the radar, and I mean, it's just orange and red all the way back up through there. And so I'm in the back seat, and it starts raining some. How many knows rain on a roof is just like singing a lullaby, you know. So I'm in the back seat, and every now and then I wake up just a little bit, and Scotty's going, Chuck, can you see the road? I can't see the road. Can you see the road? And I'm just... And so they tell me that they drove through the awfulest storms that ever was, but I missed it all because I was asleep. You see, if we're asleep when God starts moving, starts shaking, it was thundering. They said, it was lightning, it was raining so hard they couldn't see out the front window, and I didn't hear any of it, because I was asleep. When God starts to trump, and God starts to thunder, and lightning starts flashing, I don't want to miss it. I want to be there for every moment of it, but if we're asleep, we'll miss it. But we know that it's time. And He says, knowing the time, it's high time to wake out of our sleep. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Don't make provisions for your flesh. In other words, don't let the world give you a reason not to be in the Spirit. Come on. And that can be a lot of things. He says, don't do that. Don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, don't do something that you want to do just because your flesh wants to do it and miss out on what God's doing. See, every one of us could have been guilty of that from time to time. But Paul's writing this, and we see and know that things are happening in the spirit realm. Again, the winds of change are blowing. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria is warring against the king of Israel. I'll just kind of paraphrase it for you just a little bit. And there's this battle going on, but Elisha the prophet is there, and he's the go-between between the king of Israel and God. And so every time the king of Syria tries to come against the king of Israel, or tries to set up an ambush or something, Elisha would go to the king of Israel and say, now this is where they're going to be set up. You need to avoid that. And the Bible says he did it more than once. Two or three times. Several times. So much so that the king of Syria said, come here, guys. He got all his main men around me and said, now tell me which one of you all is for the king of Israel. Because he knows things that I've only said in my bedchamber. And one of his men spoke up and said, none of us, but it's that prophet. He's the one that hears what you say in your bedchamber. And the king of Syria said, where's he at? And they said, well, we hear he's down around Dothan. He said, go down there and get him. Go take care of the problem. And so he sends his army down there. And the servant of the prophet walks outside, and when he walks outside, he looks and he sees that they're surrounded. And he runs back in and he says, Master, what are we going to do? And the prophet looks at him and says, there's more of us than there are of them. Now see, you've got to understand something. He wasn't talking in natural here. You see, and that's our problem a lot of time. The church stays in the natural. They don't get in the spirit enough. The young man was looking in the natural. And in the natural, it looked like they were surrounded. They didn't have much hope. It looked like they were going down. But then the prophet said to God, he said, open up his eyes so he can see what I see. And when God opened his eyes, that servant looked and he saw surrounding the king of Syria's army, the mighty army of God. The horses and chariots of fire. The mighty power of God. See, here's the thing you've got to understand. God is bigger than any circumstance that the world can come up with, that government can come up with, that anybody else can come up with. When you think God ain't nowhere around, God was already there waiting on the king of Syria to send his army down there. Now here's the thing about this though. Here's that mighty army of God surrounding the army of Syria, and they move down in on Elisha. And they go to him. And they said, we're looking for Elisha. And the Bible says that Elisha struck them everyone blind to where they didn't know where they were at, what they were doing. And Elisha says, I can take you to the place you need to be. And Elisha and his servant led that whole army right down to the king of Israel. And then there they were. Their eyes were open. They're caught. They're captured. The whole army. And the king of Israel shocked. What should I do? Should I kill them all? The prophet said, no. Mm-mm. You'll treat them just like you would somebody that you'd captured in battle. You'll feed them a good meal, take care of them, and then send them home. Now you think about this for a minute. The Bible says they did just that. And they sent them home. Guess what? They didn't show up no more to bother them anymore. Why? Because they had seen the power of God in action. Now, what was in the supernatural was the mighty army of God. But what happened in the natural was one anointed person. One anointed person took care of the whole army of Israel. Do you understand that you and God are a majority? That's why it's so important for you to know who you are in Christ. That no matter how surrounded it looks like you are, no matter how bad the circumstance looks like that you're in, no matter what the doctor's telling you, no matter what the banker's telling you, no matter what somebody else is telling you, you know, if God be for me, who can be against me? You know, I've got God on my side, and if God's on my side, I cannot be defeated, and I refuse to quit. You see, that's the thing. The body of Christ got a lot of quitters in it. When things get tough, they quit. Hallelujah. You see, you only lose if you quit when you got God. I'm reminded of a time back when I worked in the strip mines. We all had 401ks, and the company would help invest into those. If you put a certain amount in, they'd match a certain amount. Back in the good old days when people were making good money and a lot of jobs. But anyway, most of us had invested in that because it was basically free money, right? You know, if you put $100 on it, they'd match 6% of that. And so every week you'd have money taken out. And one night we were on the job and this guy hollered and said, hey boys, anybody checked their 401k? And Nobody said they hadn't. He said, well, I did. Right now, the way the market is, we're losing about $300 a week out of them things. And man, they started freaking out. He said, I forget how much he had lost, several thousand dollars that had already been taken out of them, out of all of us, you know. And he said, I went ahead and took mine out. Some others said, well, I'm going to get mine out of there tomorrow, you know. And there was a bunch of them went ahead and jerked it out because the market was down and people were losing money out of their 401ks. Well, you see, I happen to know, and I don't know a whole lot about investing, but I happen to know when you invest for the long run. You can't get freaking out when things get low. And so I said, you boys do what you want to. I'm leaving mine alone. In about 2 weeks, I checked and all of a sudden, the market was going up. And now our accounts at that time were jumping $400 and $500 a week, going right back up and went past where it was when we started losing. Now, the only ones that lost then during that time was those that quit. See, we're in this thing for the long run, folks. There are going to be times when we're down. There's going to be times when it looks like we're losing. Come on. It's good. There are going to be those times when you kind of, just let's be honest, where those are times when we say, I don't know where God is right now, but I sure need Him to show up. Anybody been there besides me? You know, those times that you just feel like God ain't nowhere around. But He is. He is. It's in His timing. You see. And so we must wait on His timing. We're in this thing for the long run, but we also have to know the time. We have to know if it's a time and a season where we have to just wait this thing out. The children of Israel, when they were in captivity, they had a time that they had to wait it out. But even though they were waiting it out, they were still calling on God. They were still wanting God to deliver them. They knew who their God was. And when they finally went ahead and began to cast off the pagan gods and kings started rising up and saying, this is the Jehovah God that we're going to worship. Then all of a sudden the power of God came in. The places that they were captive at released them and they got to return to Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you something. The church is getting ready to rise like it's never rose before. God's getting ready to do some things in the church. And here's what you've got to understand. Things have to happen in the world too. Come on now. Things have to happen in the world and also they'll happen in the church and it'll be together. They'll coincide one another. Come on now. Things will happen supernaturally and they'll manifest on the earth. Amen. We're in those times right now to where it's not a good idea for you to fall asleep. It's not a good idea for you to get slack or lazy or back off or get your eyes on things that take you away from God. It's a time to be pressing into the kingdom of God. It's a time that even though it looks like we're surrounded, we're not. Even though it don't look good for our country and for the world for that matter. Don't fret. Did you hear what I said? It don't matter that China and North Korea and Russia are all getting together. It don't matter. Have you read your Bible? Come on now. We win. We win. You see, folks fret about those things. But again, we've got God on our side. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always here for us. So you don't fret about those things. You don't get tore up about those things. Because you know these things are coming to pass because the Word of God tells us. That's one of the ways that we know the time. So when we see Elisha here, understand that he was surrounded in the natural, but in the supernatural realm of God, God had his back all the time. God has got our back all the time. You see, secrets were being told by the prophet. Well, listen to what Jesus had to say in Mark 4:22. He says, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." What's he saying? It don't matter what kind of secrets are going on. It don't matter what the enemy's planning against you. He may be whispering and he may be saying things. But understand and know this. It won't stay secret because God knows about it. There ain't nothing God don't know about. Now, sometimes it may look like he don't know. But he knows. Come on. He knows what's going on. He doesn't miss a minute of what's happening. Matter of fact, he knows beforehand. And he also knows the outcome beforehand. Come on. And he's working all things together for good for us. So we know the outcome. God is moving in our behalf. But you see, we can't get our eyes on the world, because if we do, we can get discouraged. Even though we know if God be for us, who can be against us? Right? You get to looking at things and you're just scratching. You said, I don't know, I just don't know what, you know. Look with me over in Psalm 73. I've read this thing so many times to you all, but I'm telling you something. It is a psalm that you ought to read to yourself probably about every day. Because it deals with that kind of thing. Asaph is writing here, and he's just sharing and being honest with us, okay? Look what he says here. We're going to read the whole psalm. He says, truly God's good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. In other words, God's good to his people. Right? We know that. God is good all the time. And he's good to us all the time. And that's what Asaph's saying. But as for me, listen to this now. He's acknowledging that God is good to everybody with a clean heart. But look what he says. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You see that? How many know he's having a bad day? Come on, it's a bad time for him. He goes on and says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now you can't sit there and tell me that every one of us ain't been there. Come on, every one of us been there when we see this heathen go down the road driving a $100,000 vehicle and they're living in a $300,000 house and they're the devil and you're faithful to God and a tither and a giver. Come on now. That if nothing else, the devil will whisper in your ear and say, look at yonder, they're doing good. Come on. They're not giving up their car payment as a tithe. Come on now. Right? Well, I mean, that's kind of where Asaph is at. Look, isn't that right? He said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Does that not sound like a bunch we got right now? Talking about God and against God. And come on now. A bunch of folks like that. Goes on and says, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High God? In other words, what they're saying there is, does God know anything about this is going on? How could God be letting this go on? Anybody ever said that? How could God be letting millions of babies be killed every day? How could God let all this immorality go on? Right? Does he even know what's going on? I promise you he does. I promise you he does. Winds are shifting. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I'll speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Wow. Is he alive now or something? Right? Come on, if you tell somebody the truth now, they'll get mad at you. Right? You tell somebody the truth now and they're offended at you. Come on now. People are offended if you tell them the truth. Right? That sounds like it's prophetic. God's showing us then and now. He says, when I thought to know this, or in other words, when I thought about it, it was just too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in a slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee. They that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You see, when Asaph is beginning to talk to God about this, he says, I know you're good, God, but I just keep looking around. And I see all this that's going on and how the heathen is prospering, the evil people that are talking against you, the people that are murdering babies, the people that are doing all kinds of perversion, all that. It looks like they're just nothing ever happens to them. It looks like they're doing the best ever was. And he said that it makes me so sad, so grieved, so discouraged that it's about to take me out. Is it all right if I paraphrase it that way? But he said, and I stayed that way until I walked into your sanctuary. When I walked into the sanctuary, he said, I just realized something. Those people are going to hell. Those people are going to hell and they don't even know it. They don't even realize that they're on a slippery slope into destruction. They're going to open their eyes one day and be right in the middle of hell. And I've got you, God. I'm on my way to heaven. And when he began to realize that, he realized, man, was I a fool. I mean, I was like a dumb beast to even be thinking that way. Because I don't have anybody in heaven but you, God. And it looks like I better stay close to you and with you. Because you're the one that's going to deliver us. You see, and that ought to be the attitude of the church. Sure, we're going to look around. We see things and we're just like, well, it just looks. But can I tell you something? Looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceived. One time Chuck and I, is it all right if I tell a few fishing stories? Because Mike Manuel says he got all kinds of stories. That's kind of my. One time Chuck and I, we were on the river down in Tennessee, and the water swift. And the last time we went down there, it was so swift that if you was paddling upstream, you know, you'd paddle up, you'd get your rod, pick your rod and reel up. We were on kayaks, and you'd throw your line out. And by the time your line hit the water, you was already moving backwards. The water was pulling you backwards. And it was hard to fish. And so we made a plan. We said, when we get there today, what we're going to do is we're going to paddle upstream as hard as we can. And we're going to go way upstream. And then we're just going to drift back with the current. We won't have to paddle anymore. We'll fish as we come back down. We agreed that was a great idea. And so that's what we did. We started paddling. We'd paddled up probably 3-4 miles. We'd went, and I mean, it was hard paddling because the water was swift. And we're I'm like, you know, I don't know about this. You know, and as we got up through there, it seemed like it got a little easier paddling. And by the time we got to where we were going to stop, they had quit running, generating, making electric at the dam, and the swift water quit. And the river stilled because it wasn't running anymore. It was just still. So we're sitting there thinking, well, that's not too bad. Then we, you know. And I said, Chuck, you take one side, I'll take the other side, and we'll ease back down. So Chuck takes a side, I take a side, and we start fishing back down through there. And the wind starts blowing in our face, upriver, to the point that when you're going down there, when you would cast, by the time your line hit the water, the wind would pick up your kayak and start pulling it around sideways. And so I'm over there, and I'm fighting, you know. And I'll be honest, I just have to be real honest, I was really aggravated. Because we just really strenuously paddled upstream so we could coast back downstream. And now here I am having to paddle just to stay straight because the wind's pushing me back up the river. And I'm trying to fish. And I look over at Chuck, and Chuck just looked like, man, I said, I'm on the wrong side. I need to be over there. Chuck's not having the trouble I'm having. You know, and we fought all the way back down all that 3-4 miles, whatever it was. And when we got back down there and got back together, I said, Chuck, you didn't have any problem. He said, have a problem. He said, I looked over and saw you, and he said, I thought I'm on the wrong side. You didn't look like you was having any problems at all. And the truth was, both of us were having problems. They were so far off, it looked like everything was good. You see, a lot of times when you're looking at the world, it looks like it's good. It looks like they're doing better than you are. But the truth is, they're in a lot worse shape than you are because you've always got God, even if you're having some trouble. And you can't ever forget that. God's on my side always. The wind may be blowing in your face, but God's still there with you. You got something to praise God about. They don't have any hope. And you have to realize that. No matter how good they make it look on Facebook. Did you hear me? I mean, you can make anything look like you want to on Facebook. Social media is a lie for the most part. From the people that act religious to the people that act like they're just the happiest people in the world. Amen. And so you can't get caught up in that, looking at that. That's what Asaph did. He looked at them and he saw them. It looked like everything was great. But he realized when he got into the sanctuary that without God, they're nothing. Without God, they're on the way to destruction. As long as I've got God in my life, I'm good. Come on. Just say, I'm good. Because you've got God in your life, right? See, you've got to understand, God knows what's going on. God knows what's going on. In Romans 12:19, here's what God says. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See, here's the thing, folks. When you see all that going, don't fret. You have the strongest weapon at your disposal. You know what that weapon is? Prayer. Prayer. See, you don't have to get up and fight somebody. You just got to pray. And here's the thing. You have power over the demonic spirit that is influencing somebody. Now, you can't keep it from influencing their life, but you have power over it influencing you. See, you can speak and say, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit to stop in its operations against me. It has to obey. But you see, here's the thing. As we're praying, we need to be praying that God, your God, you're our God. And so we're standing here in faith, believing that you will make the difference. You will make the change. As we stand in faith, we thank you, Father God, that you will remove the wicked from office and you'll place the righteous in his place. God, that you will remove those that are coming against me. And I thank you, Father God, you'll send those to me that are for me. You see, you're praying things like that. And what you're doing is you're changing your atmosphere. And you continue to do that. That's your weapon to fight with. Amen. See, you can't really go against heathens. Because they never care what they say and what they do, and so they're going to lie and cheat and do all that. And you want to stay honest with God and honest with them. And so the best way for you to do that is just start praying in the Holy Ghost and let Him handle things for you. Amen. So don't get to fretting, because you got God on your side, you've got the Holy Ghost on your side, you've got Jesus on your side. Come on. You're not by yourself. Now, go with me to Isaiah 59. Let me show you something here. Isaiah 59, verse 18. Violence shall no be more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Notice that. See, that's what you gotta call yourself. You've gotta call that. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branches of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. Hallelujah. See, God has got us. And so we have to know the time and know that God has got us. We are people of faith. And so we've got to stand on the Word of God. And if we stand on the Word of God, Paul told Timothy that God was able to keep that which He had committed to him. And if Paul told Timothy that, then I believe it. And I believe God is able to keep what we've committed to Him. But what you and I have to do is we have to quit looking at the world, worrying about what the world's doing, and understand that the winds of change are blowing. Just get on board. Put out your sails. Because we're about ready to take a ride. If God be for us, ain't nobody can be against us. And He is for us. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You, Father, that You are for us and You're not against us.